Last week, we focused on the hope that God offers, a hope that's not based on our hiding our heads in the sand like an ostrich, or some pie in the sky about some distant future. Years ago, I came across a saying that my father had jotted down in a book, and it was basically, it's fine to dream dreams, but somewhere we have to work. Let's see, it's fine to keep our heads up in the clouds so we can dream dreams, but our feet have to be planted on the ground so we can turn those dreams into reality. And obviously, I don't remember the saying correctly, but it's a powerful saying. And in a way, that's what Jeremiah is talking about in this chapter this week, is yes, he has the hope that God offers. They will return home. They are in exile. They'll return home. But there's also the feet. Build your lives. Marry. Increase your numbers. Do something. Live as Jews. And God will return you home. Now, we're not sure exactly when Jeremiah was writing, but verse 2 does sort of anchor it, you know, after this queen, before that. So we have an idea, it's somewhere between 598 and 586 BC. So remember that the numbers, the dates go down the closer we get to Jesus. So the Assyrians are long gone. The Babylonians are now the key player. And the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar has actually attacked Jerusalem a few times. They've brought people out. So this is the 598 BC. And then in 586, which is the big exile, that's when the temple is destroyed and the Jews are, the upper class Jews are taken away to Babylon so that they can be kept an eye on and can't lead any possible rebellions. So the promises that God had made of being on their side and protecting them and defeating their enemies, they seem to be, well, they're garbage, empty promises. The reality was that the Jews were in exile, the temple had been destroyed, and they were now in a country that didn't know their God and had no idea what to do or how to live. Where was their future to be? They had several choices. One would be to abandon God and assimilate. The Babylonian gods had actually shown themselves to be stronger, so why not assimilate, just give up? Two would be hold on to who they were, hold on to their past, and dream long for that time when they could return to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and go back to life the way it was. And the third choice is hold on, live. God will eventually bring them back. But in the meantime, they are supposed to be part of this Babylonian society. Don't assimilate, but do your work. Don't assimilate. Don't hold on to the past. Something new is coming. Deal with your present situation the best you can and trust that God will bring you back home. God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. And whatever is happening to you in Babylon is part of God's plan. At the same time, Jeremiah gives a warning. Beware of the prophets who say otherwise, claiming to be from God, because they're not. In many ways, we are like the Jews in exile. No, we haven't been conquered and taken away to a foreign land. But yes, we find ourselves in a land that really is no longer Christian. The world has changed. Canada has changed. Ontario has changed. Religion is no longer the center of people's lives. Going to church is no longer the center of people's lives. So we find ourselves as a minority, struggling to hold on to our faith in an increasingly secular world that wants nothing to do with religion. The choices that face us are exactly the same choices that face the Jews in exile. Assimilate, throw up the towel, give up being religious at all, hold on to our faith, but hold on to the way it used to be. Remember the way it used to be when everyone would go to church, when our Sunday schools were full, and that's what we want. Or hold on to our faith, or going on with our lives, recognizing that there's been changes, and somehow we have to find a way to strengthen our faith and also pass our faith on to others who don't have that memory or the interest of going back to the way things used to be. The pandemic, with all the church building closures, has been as traumatic for us as the exile was for the ancient Jews. The pandemic marks the end of Christianity as we knew it, or rather the end of Christian worship as we knew it. But Jeremiah's promise, God's promise, is just as relevant. God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. Whatever is going on is part of God's plan. Jeremiah's warning is also applicable to us. There are many Christians who say that we're now living in the last days and we should be prepared for the end of the world, when God will come and destroy all our enemies. Well, yeah, maybe we are living in the last days. And maybe, well, certainly I believe God will come in glory and destroy the enemies. But in the meantime, Jeremiah's advice, build homes, get married, have children, build a future, is still valid. But something else happened during those years in exile. And it's almost that if the Jews hadn't been in exile, if the temple hadn't been destroyed, you would have had a Judaism that could not survive 2,000 years. But because the temple was destroyed, because the Jews were taken into exile, they were forced to adapt, and Judaism was transformed. The pre-exilic Jerusalem, the Jerusalem before 586 BC, was centered on the temple. Everyone would go to the temple to offer sacrifices. The temple's destroyed. What happens to the religion? Well, in exile, some very strange things happened to Judaism. First, synagogues became important. They still talked about the temple and sacrifices. And when they came back from exile, they did rebuild it. But more important were the local synagogues, where people could worship, but more importantly, where they could study. Because if the religion was to survive, it had to be more than priests offering sacrifices. The people had to know God's laws and God's promises. Rabbis, not priests, became important because they studied and taught the faith. And moreover, who could lead a service in a synagogue? Sometimes you didn't have any rabbis. As long as you had a quorum, 10 men, women didn't count, unfortunately, back then, at least not in the synagogues. Any male who was educated could lead the service. Okay, any male. All of them were trained. The second thing that changed was homes became the center of a lot of the religious practices. You stop and think about the Sabbath, Friday sunset to Saturday, and it's around the dinner table, and the ritual, the lighting candles, whatever, is led by the women. Women's domain is the home in traditional Judaism, and that's where the women have the power. Around the Seder, the Passover service, again, it's around the dinner table. So much of what Judaism is, or how Judaism is taught, is around the dinner table or the weekly things at home. In other words, if Judaism were to survive the exile, ordinary Jews had to take a more active role in their faith. And the rabbis were there to support them, guide them, lead them, teach them. But people were responsible for their own faith. The thing is that the more Jews knew about their faith, about what their faith was and the challenges it presented them with, then the better the Jews would be able to recognize and reject false teachings. Maybe that was part of God's plan, or at least part of it. And that's something that we need to hear too. Our church buildings are still around. Many have reopened or are in the process of reopening. But the post-pandemic world has changed. And maybe God's plan for us is the same as it was for the Jews in Jeremiah's day. Church buildings are great. They are important places of worship where the community can gather and support one another. But our Christian faith has to be grounded in more than a building. We need to know what our faith says and the challenges that it raises for us. We need to know the Bible, but it's not just memorize what we read and be able to regurgitate it. We need to understand the Bible message, how the Bible is alive and speaking to us in our own day. We need to ask the questions and recognize the variety of answers that we will come up with. We need to know our story and be able to talk about it and share it with others. It's not just ministers or priests standing at the front, but all of us should be able to speak and tell our message. We should be familiar enough with scripture that we can deal with the texts. We should have the tools and the ability to use them to help us deal with texts. Thank God for the internet and all its resources. But we need to know our story enough to be able to weed out, to recognize and weed out the false prophets. Those who abuse or reduce scripture to proof texts to be regurgitated no matter what the circumstance. I've said many times, the Christian faith is not an easy faith because we recognize there's more to life than black and white, good and bad. There's a gray. We're gray. We are good and bad. We are God's people, and we have people who've rejected God. And somehow, even through all the confusion, we still trust God, and we are able to deepen our relationship with Him. Deepening our relationship with God is not easy, and it's not something that we do just once a week in a church setting. It's something that needs to be developed every day through prayer, Bible reading, study, meditation, conversation, and action. And a good place to start is around the dinner table. Start with prayer, of course. But then go on, start with questions. Get a discussion going. And where is God in this discussion? Where is He in that faith? What is this plan? We need, or people need, to take charge of their faith and make sure it's thriving, not just one day a week in a church, but every day at home, around the dinner table. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and the theme is hope. Resources are available to help you walk with God through the season to that stable in Bethlehem from your home with your family. I encourage you to use them. Some are listed on your bulletin or in the comments section online. Schedule a dinner time, as I've mentioned. Start with prayer, start with a question, get discussion, start with a reading. Times are confusing. It's easy for us to lose track of what's important to us. It's easy for us to lose sight of who we are as Christians. Times are confusing, but God has a plan. And that plan is to reach each and every single one of us and bring us home to Him, to paradise. In the meantime, the message to us is for us to get on with our lives, shape it the way we want it to go. I guess that's part of the message too. Build homes, get married, have kids, work. But hold on to your story of being Christian. Hold on to deepening your relationship with God. If your faith is important to you, then this is a great time to change. For taking ownership of your faith, take it back from the church building, back from ordained clergy, reclaim it for yourself. Us, we're clergy, are here to guide you and support you in your faith adventure, your faith journey. Best of all, so is God. Something to think about over the week.